listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
In this never-ending battle to please niggas, magazine writers, MCs who request hot shit, I freeze and tell them when I was Rose, we always said cold. Hold your horses and your carriages. This never went gold, nigga. Rock shows carrot list. You not gonna respect self, at least respect the heritage. Affect the lies, the spread of the wealth and the merit is. I realize that I portray day to day. I gotta carry this and beats, rhymes, and life is where the marriage is. Had a dream of fucking R&B brides. It came true. Journalists shared the same view. Picked up a fallen angel on the path I MC. Familiar voice came to find out the angel was me. Some say you changing, Rashid. Times are, we still close. I rhyme far, away, away, away from what you accustomed to hearing every day. You know the dope chopping, gun popping, homies dying. I'm amongst that. Save your war stories for Private Ryan. I. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're live on a Monday, ready to do some podcasting. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Just search the Black Guy Who Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews. We appreciate everybody takes the time out to do that because that is one of the ways we move up the charts.
It is.
On iTunes and Stitcher, we also read those on the show. We read them on our feedback show and we tell you what we think about them and stuff, and it always helps us out when y'all do that, so please continue to do that. It's 2019, new year, let's get some reviews up there. If you haven't left one yet, go ahead and leave one. We implore you to do it. Okay, I'm not saying we're begging, but if you started playing some Keith Sweat,
baby, I'm begging, baby, I'm begging, begging, baby,
we wouldn't be too far off. Okay, I'm just saying, we gotta get what we gotta get. Okay, we would appreciate the help. It's all right, don't judge, because this is how we know we're doing a good job. You know, it's also how we know that y'all are listening, what y'all like about the show and all that stuff. Now, I'll be fair, I don't read the bad reviews. Okay, so
no, even if they're 5 stars, we don't read
bad. Yeah, if you have some mean shit to say, some unkind shit to say, just don't write in. We don't like to absorb that stuff into our mental health space. So if you just want to drag us or some shit like that, there are other podcasts that like to be dragged, that want to be dragged, that deserve to be dragged. Please contact them first and then leave us out of it. Yeah, okay,
take us off the list.
Yeah, so please. All right, guys. But yeah, so the official weapon of the show is
the taser.
An unofficial sport.
Bullet ball.
And bullet ball.
Extreme.
That is correct, Karen. That is, you got it again. Okay. I don't know how you know I was going to say that. Today's show is sponsored.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Speaking of begging.
Come on.
You got to make it.
The king of it.
Adam and Eve is determined to help you out in the bedroom, guys. Okay. I'm talking sexually. And they are backing up that promise. And when I say they are a heck of a sponsor, they just sent us like a box of stuff. Okay. And I said, oh, y'all want us to get us away?
That's what I said.
Cause I thought it was like, oh, for the next promotion or something.
Right.
And they said, no, baby, everything in that box is for you. And I said, well, I'm blessed and highly favored. And I want y'all to be is blessed and highly favored for yourself.
Come on.
For your genital areas. So go to adamandeve.com and get 50% off of almost any item when you enter offer code TBGWT at checkout. That's a good deal by itself. 50% off, right? Like, boom, you should have already been. But stop before you go. Just wait one more second. You can also, for a limited time only, get a free big O kit. And the O stands for orgasm. I'll let you in on something, guys.
I'll tell you a little secret.
It stands for, oh my God, I'm coming. Adam and Eve's big O kit includes their exclusive climax gel and a mini vibrator. So now you got a new way to get off. And who doesn't love that? You'll also get your entire order sent to you for absolutely, let me check the price on this, free. Free 99. Okay, so hurry up and take advantage of that offer. Go pick out a new adult toy, a naughty movie, or almost anything else. When you choose that one item at 50% off, you'll get free shipping plus the big O kit, which includes a climax gel, the mini vibrator. You won't find this deal anywhere else, so just use offer code TBGWT at checkout at adamandeve.com. That's TBGWT at adamandeve.com.
Yeah, and y'all know what? They will pack your shit up where it's discreet, because, you know, you're from other places, you're liable to get your shit in the shape of the dildo. But no, you get in like a regular ass box, so don't nobody know all your business.
Right. Like, I saw people getting mail from Amazon. Come it was on. Just a dildo with bubble tape around it.
Come on, wrapping paper.
I'm trying to tell y'all. Adam and Eve got y'all looking smooth out
right
here.
They ain't trying to tell your business to the streets.
Okay, the pastor can walk right by. Don't even know. All right? All right. We got all kinds of stuff to talk about today. I guess we start with the obvious. The Oscars were last night.
Oh, yes. Yes, they were.
Oh, wait. What were you going to say, Karen?
Oh, I didn't know. I didn't know. I was like, what obvious? I thought something else had broke. That's why I was like, something else happened?
I mean,
it's been like that all month. So I was like, what else done happened?
Nah, this was just
the Black Face scandal was happening.
It was just the Oscars. The Oscars happened last night. I didn't watch because I never really watch.
No.
And I'm going to be honest with you guys. Part of the reason I don't watch is because I find it to be a big waste of time. I don't find that we as Black people are served very much there. I'm not that hard on the Oscars as most Black people online seem to be.
Me either.
Like, I think the people, at least my social media circle, I'm not trying to turn on my Black peoples, okay? But my Blacks, please take this with a grain of salt, with the love that I intended with, okay? Please. Y'all make horrible company to watch these fucking award shows with. I would love to live tweet it just for the spectacle of it, but I would essentially have to just abandon Twitter and go to white Twitter, Black Twitter, and go to white Twitter.
Come on.
And I'm not trying to sell out like that. So I just don't watch it because everybody, it's really like watching Roots. Everybody's so sad and hurt, and
come on,
and then even when they get excited, they it's all because they're gonna get let down later, and it's always the same shit every year. It's not our show, it's not for us. I'm rooting for the Black people, I'm happy when they win,
same,
but like they take the fun out of all the movies. Everything gotta be some deep ass like existentialism motherfucking medium post 27 you know pieces. Thread piece, like, y'all,
it's too much.
Is everyone okay?
It really is too much. That's why I'm like you. I kind of peek in and out, so a lot of times you find out who wins, you know, and loses by that.
Yeah,
but like you say, I used to really enjoy that stuff, but after a while, like you say, you get online and it's like nobody knows the trouble we seen. You're like, well, goddamn,
It's like Black Academic Twitter takes it upon themselves to explain every choice, every winner, every loser, who should have won instead. And it's not fun because it's not like you can just root for a movie or be like, oh, that's what they picked. And I still respect the people who lost. I still have my favorites. It has no bearing on whether or not they win an Oscar.
Right.
You know, because there's too much politics about it. And then it becomes about who rooting for certain people, but not necessarily if they're the best. Not to mention, like I said, I love my peoples, man, but we watch Black movies.
Right.
A lot of times we don't even watch these other movies.
Some of them,
and then when the Black movie lose, we just be like, well, obviously everybody was trash except the Black movie. And it's just not a healthy way to watch anything.
You know, and sometimes that statement is not true. You just hadn't seen it.
But it's like watching football with Black people that's only rooting for the Black quarterbacks. Right. Whereas like, I mean, I'm rooting for the Black quarterbacks too, but I also understand that if like Aaron Rodgers wins, I don't have to start calling him.
It's not no conspiracy.
Yeah, I don't have to be like, this nigga is sorry. He's not even good at football.
You're like, that nigga good. That nigga got 52 fantasy football points. What are we talking about here?
So that's one of the main reasons I opt out. And then, also just low key, I mean, I guess not low key. I mean, I think y'all can identify with this. It's a little bit, not to be too inflammatory, but a little bit traumatic to watch that shit. You know, cause I am rooting for the Black people too. And I'm tired of like this place that's not ours, that never will be ours, where we still have first 91 years in a first woman, first Black person, first Black woman, first non-white. It's too much to be fucking like hanging on every fucking decision they make. I've decided a long time ago, I don't respect them as a body.
Right.
You know, I understand they willpower within the industry. I'm not trying to tell people that, that people in that industry shouldn't care, but I don't have to care.
Right. They want to be respected among their peers. That's fine. And I know there's people that love that, and that's fine too. But like you say, as far as I'm concerned, I have my own personal feelings and how I feel. And, you know, we get to vote in our own version of it. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, like I cast my vote.
Yeah, we're movie critics in North Carolina. We're part of an organization. There's not that many people, and it's like 42 right now. Mm-hmm. I think we just added a few new members.
Mm-hmm.
And we vote, you know, on stuff, and we, you know, everybody writes and publishes pieces or podcasts or whatever they do so people can see their work. But, you know, it's just kind of like, this is not a place that truly respects us, and we have an agenda. We like, we don't want to talk about it, but we as black people have an agenda for all the black shit to win everything. And when, and since it's not gonna happen, and it's not even gonna ever be close, it's just hard for me to get up for that, you know. And I love the timeline with the pictures of everybody in their clothes.
Oh, the pictures was gorgeous, you know. I enjoy that part.
It's not like you don't see the winners coming up and down timelines all the time. You know, but it got a little annoying because I think I've reached a place now on social media where people are tagging me when I ask not to be. You know, whether it's like a joke or serious, but like people was on some like black people winning, Rod, like they want me to watch, but they know how I feel. So it's like, come on, man, like respect my feelings the same way I'm not going in your mentions and being like, hey, did you see the score of the Super Bowl game? You boycotting? Like, it's cool. I'm just not into this. It doesn't, I've never been into it anyway. So it's no disrespect. I always talk about, when I saw Moonlight win that award, it was completely by accident. Walking Dead had gone off.
Right.
Something else had went off. I happened to go in the bedroom and it was already on that channel.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I had been watching like the ABC NBA game or something. I don't remember what I was watching, but something. And I just happened to see literally the last second of that shit as they accidentally gave the award to La La Land and then gave it to Moonlight. And that's the black people winning. They had to accidentally give it to the white people. And then give it to the black people. And that's a win for us. And you know what happened yesterday? I mean, after that, the day after that, everybody was mad still. Moonlight won an award and everybody was still mad. You know, they just can't get it right over there. They don't care about us. You know, so it's just not my thing. And it's like, if you tell people that, they just don't respect it, you know?
Right. And I think that's fine, you know, because there's a lot of things that have a lot of power. It doesn't mean I have to respect what they do. And then the thing is, you know, you honor the awards, you understand the purpose of the awards. The awards is to get recognized among your peers. And if I worked in that industry, I would feel completely different, but I don't. So, you know, my feelings and opinions about it is different. And the thing, and how can I say, not to really bash, but the thing that kills me, and this is not speaking to everybody across the board, some of these same niggas would turn around and shit on the BET awards. The whole award show is all about us.
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing, we watch the BET awards. I know I live tweeted every year.
Me too.
Because it's, you know,
it's like a big ass fandom of you. It's one, yeah, it's one of the few times that you literally see people that don't tweet all year literally come back on the timeline and everybody just has a ball.
And then when people fuck up, we laugh at it. It's like, you know, oh, they fucked up so-and-so's tribute. BET, you know, oh, here they go with the camera cut off or something. You know, meanwhile, it's not like the other shows don't have technical difficulties. So I never try to label that under like blackness, because I mean white show, your award shows is where Adele's vocals got fucked up, you know, where Mariah Carey's mic didn't work.
Come on.
So it ain't a black thing when there's a technical difficulty. I try not to do any anti-blackness while I'm tweeting about it, but I love the BET awards. I always loved them,
always.
It's more fun. It's for us. I feel seen when the motherfucker, when people win at the BET awards, like it's a 90% clip that I'd be like, yep, that was the best album. Yep, that was the best movie. I don't know, man. And maybe, you know, and I understand we live in a white patriarchal country, so maybe it's just that people are so obsessed with white approval,
right,
that they have to watch these things, or and then they have to get hurt when we're not approved, or when we're not passed, or when we don't win, or what type of movie wins, they get very upset by that. But I don't have it in me to continue to be upset 91 years in a row. I don't have it. And so if I know something's going to be upsetting to me, I try to avoid it, you know, and I would hope that people could respect that. I know like I said, maybe we're reaching a new plateau of like visibility, so people are kind of like, at least with me on social media, like, fuck with everything you just talked about. So-and-so won for best costumes. Fuck that. So-and-so just won for Into the Spider-Verse. And I'm like, I don't care. I love those things before those white people told me it was good. And I love them whether the white people would have said yes or no. It doesn't matter to me, and it never will matter to me. You know, for those personal people that got those achievements, I'm glad for them.
Me too. I'm happy for them.
But they were fucking geniuses before these white people said a goddamn word.
Right.
I walked out the theater and said Black Panther was genius. I didn't need, like, the Academy to agree. You know, I joke back and forth with J.L. Covan about, like, Oscars and stuff like that because of our jokes about movies and stuff. But I don't take it. I don't care. You know, like, I can sit down and tell you a good reason for almost every film to win, because all of them are up there for a fucking reason. You know, whether Black people like it or not, whether white people like it or not, like, people work hard on all those films, and they're gonna get recognized. It's kind of the game, you know? So anyway, that was why I didn't watch it, you know, and that's not offensive to anyone who watched it. I didn't say a mean thing about the people that watched and all that shit. It was typical Oscar shit to me.
Yeah, and I'm glad that people watch and got their life, because some people watch it and it's just a pure joy. Like, for some people, it's a tradition that they've been doing for many, 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 many years, which is fine. But the experience on social media and the experience you have at your home and with your loved ones growing up, the experiences are completely different now. It's not the same.
Right.
And so, for me, I am happy when people around me are happy. But like you say, it's hard when you go in, like you say, you see the timeline goes through emotional roller coaster with a lot of this stuff. And so for me, that's why I say I found out, just because I knew people were going to tell me anyway. And you get alerts on everything.
Yeah, you see it right there on your phone. You see it if you're on Twitter. We were watching Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
I get an updates. I'm seeing the whole thing. I don't need to be told, you know, like, it's a cultural event. The thing that actually is weird to me is, like, this morning and last night after it went off, I kind of just stayed off of social media after that, because it's always the same. It's a big outpouring of Black people's pain.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, attention is money. White people's vision is money. White people's money is money. And a lot of this is about, why haven't we been allowed at the party?
Right.
And we can't even celebrate the wins for the people that we were rooting for because of the losses of the people we were rooting for. And it's never going to be a time where Black people go 100%. And unless it is 100%, people going to be mad. It don't matter how many firsts there are.
And even if it is, somebody's still going to be mad.
Yeah. Even in categories where a Black movie could have won, a Black movie would have had to lose for that Black movie for the other one to win. Like,
right.
It just is what it is, man. So I try to take the good and leave the bad and let other people be upset about that, because it's just not healthy for me, you know? And because I don't really have respect for the industry or institution like that, the Academy, it's just going to be me saying the same shit every year. And I think some Black people just never get tired of saying the same shit every year. I do. It don't float my boat. It don't make no money. So anyway, let's talk about the people that did get awards. Cause I did see, there were some people that got awards that I thought was kind of dope.
Mm-hmm.
I think, yeah. So, let me talk about the ones that matter. Regina King won for Bill Street. If Bill Street could talk.
This is our first one, ain't it?
I don't know. I think so though.
Yeah, I didn't realize she's been around a long ass time.
227, man.
Woo, she's been around since she's been a teenager.
Yeah, I remember being like her age and watching 227, or being like slightly older than me watching 227. And it's weird too, because she played that role so well that I never thought she was fine at the time. Like, when she was a kid, and
right.
Cause I was a kid too, so it's not creepy.
Yeah.
But I was just kind of like, oh my gosh, she's so annoying. You know,
because of how she played the character. Yes.
Right. Then you see her get grown as you get older, and you're like, this woman is fine as fuck. What the fuck?
Right.
Who can act that well? You know what I mean? You act yourself out of fine. It's like, oh, she's so annoying. She's such a kid. Get out of here. Now, Jack A. Okay, now.
Come on. She's still fine.
Now, she come in. I'm going to try to see what's going on. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Mary. You know what I'm saying? But, But yeah, so she won. I thought that was dope. Ruth Carter won for Black Panther costume design. People have always been talking about her for years. Production design, Hannah Beachler and Jay Hart won for Black Panther. Sound editing, Bohemian Rhapsody. Cinematography, Roma, Alfonso Cuarón, who's Mexican. And that movie is dope. It's on Netflix. You can watch it for free. Slow, I will say it's slow. Me and JL Covan reviewed it. Slow start. You start thinking like, how the fuck is this anybody talking about how great this fucking movie is? But it's all just building shit up, and then boom, like it hits the fan. But I love that movie. It was so beautiful. It's in black and white. It's all artsy and shit. Let's see. The sound mixing is Bohemian Rhapsody. Foreign language film was Roma.
Yeah, I figured I was going to win. It won in ours too.
Yeah, and also when he, I think it won overall for North Carolina film critics. Also, when he did his speech, apparently he said he grew up on foreign language films, and then he named some American films because it's relative.
Right.
It's whatever your native language is. Mahershala Ali won for Green Book, which I thought was hilarious. Y'all, come on, guys.
The Magendas.
Can we admit that it's funny? Can we admit that it's funny, y'all?
The Magendas colliding. I was happy for him.
Right. I mean, I'm happy for it too, but can we admit that it's funny, y'all? Is it too soon to laugh? That we was all like, I mean, if Mahershala wins, then great. Yes, I love that. Mahershala, two-time Oscar winner. That's what I'm that's a fine piece of man, all that shit.
Yes.
Meanwhile, we like, burn this movie. Burn Hollywood, burn. Like,
burn everything but him.
Kill everyone in the movie. Octavia, you can live. But Mahershala, you fine. Fuck everybody. Fuck everything that happened to make this movie happen. Except the two black people. But he won. Animated feature film, Spider-Man to the Spider-Verse, which I think was the first black director to win this category. So that was cool. Bao won for animated short film.
I love that.
It was so good.
Oh, it was so fresh. It brought tears to your eyes watching that. It was like a little short.
Make you want to call your mama and apologize.
Come on.
Let's see. Period in the sentence one for documenting short subject. I didn't see this. Mm-mm. It was about women in prison who don't get like care for their menstruations and stuff like that.
Oh.
Let's see what else happened. Oh, best original screenplay, Green Book won. And I said, these niggas finna be mad.
He's like, about to go downhill from here.
Yep. Eject.
Come on.
Best adapted screenplay, BlacKkKlansman, Spike Lee finally got him an Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was very hype about that. It was funny because it's not just Spike Lee's Oscar, but it is Spike Lee's Oscar.
That's his Oscar.
Like Sean McKittrick, Jason Blum, Raymond Mansfield, and Jordan Peele also contributed. But
that don't matter. That's his, because it's one of these things where I feel like he's been cheated for many, 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 many years.
What I thought was funny is watching the agendas from the year be dropped as people want. Like, okay, so I don't know if y'all are in the wokest part of Black Twitter that was on this, but last year during BlacKkKlansman's run in the theaters, a lot of people, including Boots Riley, turned on the film and said it's just propaganda. It's just about making us feel like the police are safe and good. And Spike Lee is basically a agent working for these people. Like, yes. And they went at his neck over this goddamn film. And I remember that shit and being like, yo, y'all, like, I thought we fucked with Spike and that this movie was doing well and we liked it. And so for maybe a week or two, it turned into, this is why this movie ain't shit and Spike ain't shit, and Spike's history with black women and not portraying them right, and She Got to Have It was trash. Like, everything turned into, like, Spike is not that nigga. But as the award season came and it was like he getting nominated, you see old Uncle Spike up there, you want him to win something because he black and he part of your life no matter how you feel about his shortcomings.
Come on.
This dude, a staple of black community of Hollywood.
For decades.
He's never gotten his respect. He's never really gotten his just due. And so it was cool in a way to watch people drop the shit a little bit. And for a second on Twitter, like during the awards, everybody was a Spike fan again. And it wasn't like, let's bring up everything bad about Spike and everything we disagree with. It was just, look at this man who dedicated his fucking life to this career where he never got recognized. And we watched how edgy his work was. No matter how rough it was or whatever, it was edgy enough that you knew white people didn't want to respect it.
Right.
So to see him get that, you know, that award that we think he should have got for like Malcolm X and Do the Right Thing.
Right.
Like there's so many movies we've been like,
yeah, how's this? Denzel should have won for Malcolm X.
Right. Like how the fuck is he not getting like all his things all the time? And so it was cool to watch that moment because everybody forgot to be mad at him. You know, now I don't know what it's like today. I haven't checked, you know, maybe in a week or two, they'll come back
to normal.
It's propaganda. It's trash. But I love when people forget to be mad for a second. Cause that's human.
It's human.
You know, sitting there watching the goddamn show with your arms folded, ready to be with the pitchforks is such a waste of your life.
Come on.
Go outside. Original score, Ludwig, Göransson won for Black Panther. A lot of people thought that should have won. That was dope. Original song, Lady Gaga won. Once again, it was good to see motherfuckers forget to be mad. She performed with Bradley Cooper up there.
Everybody said the phone was good. I didn't see it.
Yeah, they was all over each other like they was going to smang on the top of that piano in front of Bradley Cooper's girlfriend. But people forgot. Remember, it was, she did that SNL performance with R. Kelly. She needed to apologize for it. She did. The apology ain't good enough, sis. You didn't mention indigenous Americans or something. You know, it's always something you didn't mention every apology. It doesn't matter how thorough it is. They gonna find a way to be like, but what about this? And so people forgot to be mad and they celebrated her like, yo, your fave never is so good to see her get her thing.
She's been racking up this year. She won like 4 or 5 awards, like at everything, just about. She was winning awards left and right this year.
Right. So it was kind of cool to see, you know, people forget just for a little bit, you know, because I'm so used to this negative energy around these shows.
It's like, oh my God, they found out I was human. Nope. Gotta put the face back on.
Like I said, I wasn't watching the show, but I could see the Twitter. Responses, and people seem to be kind of excited about it. Also seemed to go pretty fast without a host because they didn't even do all these gags and shit.
And you know what, not so funny, don't ever get a host again. Shows actually run smooth. I mean, it's still a long ass show, but it runs smoother when every 5 minutes we ain't got to do another 10 minutes skit.
Yep. Best actress in the leading role was Olivia Colman for The Favorite. I love The Favorite. It was a great movie. Good for her. You know, I think Glenn Close, a lot of people wanted her to win, but I didn't see that movie, so I can't really speak as to the quality of it. But I do know that Olivia Colman, in a film with three women, like, doing a motherfucking thing, it was cool to see, like, her win. Best director, Roma, Alfonso Cuarón. Totally understand. I think I was rooting for Ryan Coogler. Can't remember who else was in this category, but hey, whatever. Roma was a good movie. And then Best Picture was Green Book. And niggas went crazy. They went crazy, man.
Went to bed.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not doing this with y'all. And you know what I thought to myself when I seen that come across the timeline? And that's why the fuck I don't watch. You know?
Same.
Stop at me. Stop trying to get me to watch this shit. I don't watch because of this. This is why. Like, it's not for us. You know? And I named a bunch of black shit that won. Nobody cares that shit won, really.
Right.
It's like all of a sudden the celebration of Regina King has to stop so we can all get off on our Green Book and let's retweet the Shadow and Act pieces and all this stuff. And you know, all the time it leaks like what the voters have been thinking more and more lately anonymously. And one quote I saw was a 50-year-old white man who said he was voting for Green Book essentially as a rebellious vote. And it was because, you know, look, this is a theory. I hope I'm wrong. But I low-key think that Shadow and Act and a lot of the, like, kind of woke black people that tried to, like, tank Green Book from inception kind of made Green Book the rallying cry for old white people that's already feeling forced out of the academy. And it gave them a cause to, because I don't find that movie to be that good. I saw it. I don't think it's as offensively bad as black people are trying to make it out to be online. But I didn't find the movie, like, it wasn't so good that I was like, oh my God, Green Book, it blew me away. Mahershala was good in it. You know, I think obviously white people love those, a lot of the Academy, they love those time period pieces. They love that era of like, you know, black and white people wasn't supposed to get along, but this black and white person found a way to form a friendship. You know, but it also was this attack that happened from like the time that the movie, before they even had a trailer, there were people like, no, this movie is offensive. It's a white savior film, which I don't really think is truly a white savior film, but that's fine. It seemed more like to me a magical Negro film than a white savior film, but both of those genres are pretty fucking boring and people find them to be offensive or whatever.
Right.
And you know, when I watched it, I was like, okay, like it was funny. I thought it was well acted. And without knowing any of the family's misgivings, I think you walk out of the theater and go, that was a fine movie. Maybe white people are extra boost, you know, because they like that nostalgia and look at this white guy and black guy and they're eating chicken and they fucking love it. Mm-hmm. Like there's, you know, there's that shit. And also low key, what is my man's name? I can't remember his name, but the dude that plays the Italian guy, Tony Lip, mm-hmm. him and Mahershala's acting chemistry was really good together. That's okay. Basically the movie. The movie is basically these two motherfuckers on a road trip, and then they have banter, and then something serious happens, and they have banter, and then something serious happens, and they do this for like an hour and a half or whatever. They were good. And that
Viggy, V-I-G-G-O?
Viggo Mortensen. Yeah, Viggo.
I'm mispronouncing it, my bad.
Nah, Viggo, and he was acting his ass off because I saw that dude in Eastern Promises, totally different dude. Totally, it's like it's not even the same actor. He did a good job. That's not his normal intonations and how he talks and shit. He was acting his ass off. But at the same time, you know, you built this story on an offensive bedrock that people are offended by. His family was not consulted, the black doctor, Dr. Shirley. I'm sure you guys have heard 1,000 times at this point, like all the problems people had with that movie. So I'm not even trying to reiterate it.
Mm-hmm.
Just to say that, yeah, they don't care that black, if anything, black people trying to tank it probably gave them a place to go in a very excellent year of movies. Probably gave them a place to be like, well, I'm gonna put Green Book number one because fuck these motherfuckers. They're not taking my Oscars over. They already feel pushed out by these new rules.
Right. They'd be like, you got to do shit. You can't just be hanging around and you ain't done a project in 25 years. Do something.
Right. And the thing for me that's funny, I wonder if something else would have won if we hadn't seen that huge surge to try to make sure Green Book lost. Because Green Book made $110 million. To compare that to something else, Bill Street made 15.
Right. And that's kind of funny. And that's the thing a lot of times is, put it like this, the way people respond and your dollars and cents and how you spend your money, it don't always correlate. Because a lot of times people go really hard online.
Right.
But then when it comes to support some of this shit financially, not some people will support everything.
Yeah.
But you have some people, they don't support, they just complain.
And it's harder to support certain shit anyway, because if it gets a limited release, if it's not in theaters that long, if correct. It's only in your indie theaters, like it's a lot of moving parts to a movie,
right?
And getting people's eyes on it to see it, not to mention, you know, the for your consideration screeners that we get all the time, mm-hmm. as critics. Like it takes money to push that stuff out. You know what we didn't get a for your consideration for? Blindspotting. I've heard nothing but good things. It was in the theater here for like a week, maybe two, and then it was out at the indie theater that we never go to, and we never got to see the movie. For me to even put it on a list of something.
Oh, we didn't get one more. I'm thinking, nope, we got everything else though.
Right, and so by the time for us to vote, it's over. Now we did get something for Widows, Trey. I think Widows is a victim of a few things, but I don't want to break down Widows right now.
Right.
I'm not trying to offend anybody with these comments, but Widows had some serious issues that, mm-hmm. that were not about the Just For Your Consideration, because we got that screener and it was promoted. I wish they had released it, probably during the summer. I think they made a mistake releasing it in the fall. It should have came out in the summer. It was
more money.
Yeah. I think the way they were promoting it as this heist flick, it probably would have been better to be out in the summer. And there was a lull in the summer because everybody was waiting after Avengers. There was just nothing.
Yeah, you know what? As far as like theaters, man, you talked about that. There was a time where it was almost a month, like during the winter time, where we didn't, because nothing, literally, y'all, nothing. After Christmas, it was a wrap.
And then the other part with that was the way they chose to promote that movie was weird, because I still remember Viola Davis and Steve McQueen going around doing interviews about how we've never seen a dark-skinned older black woman with natural hair loved by a white man, and spoiler alert, the white man ain't shit. So like, what the fuck, like, no, don't promote it. Just be like, she was in a tough situation and we gonna see like these women come together and try to do a heist. Like, that's all you gotta tell us. You even gotta lie to us and shit. Like, it's actually low-key offensive when you see the movie. Like, I hate to spoil it, but this nigga left to have a white baby. Like, fuck him. Fuck everything about this nigga.
Come on. Fuck,
like, it was like, I know you don't want to give away your movie, but like, that wasn't it, man. So I think that was a huge mistake. Because it was otherwise a really good movie that had a lot of like, I love the subtext of conversations and shit, but damn, like, really, nigga? Like, that's the selling pitch? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. That's like, it's like saying, if you said, yeah, Sleeping with the Enemy is about a man who finds the love of his life, and you're like, no, it's not. She boils a bunny and tries to kill him.
That's an old movie.
You know, it's that Fatal Attraction. One of the two. You know what I'm talking about. Like, whatever, you pick the movie, but it's like leading with the part that's going to be fucked up. Like, don't get me in the theater expecting this shit. So yeah, I was not a fan of that. I wasn't a fan of how they promoted the movie. I thought the movie was good. I just wish they would have, you know, been a little more honest up front. But anyway, the point being, like, and Bill Street was dope, but it came out in December. It had a scattered release. I know with us, right, it was like, we saw the screener for it. We got to go to the theater and see the screener, and we got an actual For Your Consideration screener. So you can't say it wasn't promoted for critics. But like, y'all, we saw it in like, I want to say October, maybe even, and before we went to California.
Yeah, and it was months before
we couldn't release it until the end of December was when we could release our review of it. You see what I'm saying? So it's like, it's a lot of moving parts to this shit that people don't necessarily know about, and you're trying to get a small group of critics to really approve and be hype about this shit. So black people, of course, we are that $15 million.
Oh yeah, that was all us.
That's all us. But then we turn around and we're like, why didn't these white people vote for it? There's a lot of moving parts to it. Why didn't they understand? Why didn't they get widows and shit? A lot of moving parts to it.
Yeah, and also for some, depending on where you live in the country, for some black people, I could see why, for people that actually want to support, sometimes it's hard because like with Bill Street, like you said, it was limited release and it was months. It was like beginning of this year before they was like, well, we're actually nationwide.
Right.
And even then it was still limited release in these arts and plays. So you go, damn, I wanted to see it, but it was only here for 3 weeks or 2 days or one time viewing. So it's like, how can you expect a movie like that to make money?
Right. And so we're talking about, you know, getting eyes on things and stuff like that. But in general, even with all of that, the eyes that are seeing this are not our eyes. They're not going to see it. I loved Bill Street because Bill Street loved me. Come on. I don't even necessarily know that Bill Street told a story that I love. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, if for those of you who have seen it, I know a lot of you haven't, so I won't spoil it. But it's not a fun story. It's not, you know, it's a somber story. It's a sad story that has a ending that's just not this yay. It's like, you know, it's the kind of movie that if a white person directed it, we would all say it's black trauma porn and we don't want to watch it.
Correct.
If we're being fair. You know, it's kind of a movie that at the end feels like it's kind of trying to tell white people, like, look how fucked up it is for us as black people. You know, in a loving way for us, where it's still love, the camera loves us, the story loves us, it takes truth. But, like, we have stuff that there's agendas to it, and one of the agendas is, you know, like, if black people do that, we need to support it, but if white people do it, we don't. You know, when Detroit came out, they tried to sink Detroit, right? It was black trauma porn. No, we don't want to see that. If Detroit would have been directed by Ava DuVernay, same movie, like nothing else changed, it would have been a totally different attitude about it. It's the truth.
Yep.
You know, we are human too as black people. It's okay. You know, so And I'm not saying it's irrational or anything, but the point being, like, we have our agendas too, and so to show up with our agendas to these awards to me seems so fruitless, because we always get fucked, and I'm just so tired of it. So that's why I didn't watch y'all, and I don't begrudge anybody that did watch, and I still love that the people who won, the black people that won especially, like, I'm glad they did. So congratulations. All right, let's talk about other news. Online, speaking of online stuff,
okay,
anger can be contagious.
Yes, it can.
Here's how to stop the spread. So social media spreads rage, but could kindness be the answer to stopping it?
It can.
If you're not aware of it, it's likely that your emotions will influence someone around you today, even if you're not aware. This can happen during our most basic exchanges. On our commute to work, if someone smiles at you, you smile back at them. You know, that happens all the time and face to face, right? And it's been proven, right? Like, someone with a good attitude comes to work, and maybe they spread that good attitude to other people, and now everybody, you know, you're happy for no reason. Someone smiles at you or something, and then sometimes it picks you up. We've all had these moments in our lives, you know. I think I remember I was in high school one time, I was walking, and I didn't really have a bad attitude or nothing. I was listening to some music and had my hoodie on, and I remember this girl Jamila, I was in like ninth grade or something, and she saw me and she stopped me and said, "Hey, well, put your head up." And I said, "What?" She said, "Just pick your head up. You're always walking around with your head down listening to music." And so you know, it made me like pick my head up and smile. And you know, I know it was well before the, you know, Twitter. I would have had to write a 12-page thread about how she violated my personal space and all this shit. But at the time, I was just like, that's my sister looking out for me, saying, "Hey, walk around with a smile on your face, a good attitude. Maybe good things will happen." And, you know, I did. Like, I started smiling. I was like, yeah, you know, and I did kind of pick up my attitude. And that's just a one time. It happens all the time in life. But I just remember that moment. Well, that can happen online too. So they were saying how, like, there's a sociologist, Nicholas Christakis of Yale University, said that's a very fleeting contagion of emotion from one person to another, talking about the smiling in traffic. But it doesn't stop there. Emotions can spread through your social networks almost like a flu or a cold. And the extent to which emotions can cascade is eye opening. For instance, Christakis's research has shown that if you start to become happier with your life, a friend living close by has a 25% higher chance of becoming happy too. 25%, that's actually a pretty high percent if you think about it. One out of four of your friends, you know, they got a 1 in 4 chance of being like, "Yo, I feel happy now. Rod's happy, I'm happy."
Right, because the thing is, like they say, it's contagious and all that. You can feel it, you can sense it, you know, but just being connected to human beings, because we're designed to be somewhat connected to each other. It's just human nature. And speaking of that, well, the other day I had stopped by Bojangles, and Roger know me, sometimes I'm not gonna say I'm too happy sometimes, but Roger know me, I'm always happy,
right?
So I went to Bojangles and I was ordering my food, and I was, you know, my same thing, and I was like, "Yeah, go ahead and, you know, give me a, you know, a egg biscuit combo, baby, with orange juice, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, my normal thing I do." So when I got to the drive-thru, the dude, he was like, "You just so happy." Like, you could just see the smile on, like, it's almost like me talking to him just made him smile.
Right.
You know, and not only him smile, it was like he must have told the other people around, because everybody was trying to look at the window to see who was this person that was making everybody smile.
Yeah, well, in a, you know, as an empath, you know, I've worked in those customer service, public relations type of job, or public jobs where you have to do drive through or whatever. And, you know, it, like, the general public is trash.
Yes,
like,
they are.
They're, I shouldn't say trash. The general public, they going through it. And a lot of times they putting you through it. And then generally, if people get a little bit of power, they treat other people like shit. And minimum wage jobs are one of the few places that people feel like they have all the power. Right. And it just says more about how they are treated on a daily basis, because if I'm just polite, it's, you can watch motherfuckers be like, oh my god, like, what is this? I'm like, yeah, may I have a honey mustard sauce? Oh yes, sure, no problem. Or I look in the back, oh, y'all forgot to put my fries in here. Oh my god, I'm so sorry.
Like, you just,
I'm gonna just kill myself right here. I'm like, no, yes. You don't have to, it's okay.
You can see the panic on their faces, right? Like, it's amazing how when me and Roger go out sometimes, and like, particularly if we go to like some of the upper scale places, and it don't even it could be something small, and it's almost like everybody fucking freaks out, and next thing you know, the manager, the supervisor, the owner, you're like, no, but I no, all you had to do was, you know, yeah. I was like,
I mean, when
I didn't demand this.
When we've flown first class, mm-hmm. people, you know, it, like, you can just see like the trepidation on the attendant's face of dealing with people that's supposed to be like having the best experience on the plane. Right, so these are people that pay extra money to get wider seats, and they get blankets, and you know, they get drinks and shit.
Snacks and
and
shit.
You know, we don't even really know what the fuck you supposed to get in first class, because mm-hmm. We only fly like once or twice a year.
Right?
I'm really only there because I'm fat. Like, it's not even a, it's not even about because I got some money type of shit. It's just really like, oh man, I need to lose weight so I can get them regular seats. So it's like, we sit up there just so, for anxiety reasons, for me, to be honest with y'all. And when we sit around these motherfuckers, we've seen how they treat people sometimes, and it's like, yo, this is wild. No wonder these people are scared of us, because they really be surprised that we're just like, I'll take some ginger ale, and
right,
well, you want some cookies or something? And by the end, they like, take these extra cookies. You
they
know,
be giving a shit, because I remember,
I'm like, we don't want anything. It's like, y'all are so nice. Yes. Y'all are so sweet. I'm like, right. What the fuck? What are people doing up here?
I have no idea, baby. I remember one flight, we was on the dude, by the time we got finished, the dude was like, your wife is one of the best. Talking about, she looked like she was just out. Y'all know, I just happy to put like this, the way I function, a lot of times I'm just happy to be anywhere. I know that might sound silly, but I was like, hey, I'm on the plane, I'm safe, I'm having a good time. So I'm very happy. So a lot of times when the flight attendants like approach us, they're like, you said, they're shocked and surprised. We don't have an attitude, we always happy. They was like, oh, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. I'm like, whatever. And the dude, like you said, he was giving us cookies, extra shit.
I mean, and for me, I'm not like all smiles, baby, please, all this, but I'm just low maintenance,
right?
You know, it's like, if you would like your meal to be, what would you like your meal? I'm like, man, it don't, like, okay,
it don't matter to me.
It's like, we got the chicken, and we got this salad, and we got this. And then one time I remember I was like, I don't want a meal, and they was like, you don't want a meal? I was like, yeah, my stomach, I just don't want to eat, we're gonna be on a long flight, you know. In my head, I'm like, I'd rather hit the ground and eat than to eat in the air, because we're gonna be on here for 6 hours, and I just don't like that. Like, what if I get sick or some shit, right? I don't want to squeeze in that little bathroom and shit. So but they were shocked, like, but sir, like,
I mean you paying for it,
right? You gonna be upset when I bring out everybody food? I'm like, nope. I'm fine, I'm actually gonna try to go sleep, you right. know, like, so it's that kind of shit though. But and I'm not saying, and that's just one example, it happens in when a restaurant, when someone messes up our order,
mm-hmm.
and they think we're supposed to like jump in that shit. And I think, having been in the other side of that as a waiter, I know what it feels like when people jump in your shit, because they get a little bit of control. You make one mistake, and now they want to fucking like get a free meal, talk
right.
to your manager, see if they can get you fired, get an attitude with you, call you out your name.
Mm-hmm.
You know what happened today? I was playing basketball with this dude. Okay guy, I played with him a couple times, he could shoot or whatever. I had to defend him, I was playing pretty good defense on him, so he wasn't really scoring. And I think he was frustrated because he got the ball and he was coming down, and tried to make a pass, and he pulled up and he walked, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's five people on our team. Four of us are like, yo, he walked, that's a walk. And he starts arguing, I didn't walk, goddamn it. Everybody's like walking the other way, like, you walked, man. Everybody saw it. I did not. And it was like, yeah, you took three steps. And he's like, man, I can count. And so when we got down, we got on my side, he had to check up, give me the ball back, you know. And I said, yeah, man, you walked, this all right. And he was like, man, I didn't walk, man. And I said, but everybody called it at the same time. I said, you think we all just made it up? Like, you walked. You know what I mean? It wasn't like one person tried to make up a call, right?
Right.
And so he goes to me, he says, that's because y'all a bunch of fucking dumbasses. And I said, hey, you don't have to be disrespectful. I didn't call you any names. And then he checked the ball up. And then I want to say like a couple plays later, like I was trying to check the ball up and he rolled it to me, which is just some asshole shit to do. And so I had to pick it up and bounce it back to him. It's just an asshole move. And then something else happened that, you know, like the couple more plays went by. And, but, you know, my thing is, and I've talked about it on a pregame all the time with Justin, I'm not going to let your bad attitude defeat me. I came out there to have a good time, and I just treat people like a child. Like, I'm just, when you're ready to be an adult, we'll talk.
Right.
And so I just ignored him for a few plays or whatever. And so it's funny, he comes out to the end of the game. It's a very close game. And he comes up to me and he says, I think somebody else got into it on another call or something. He came up to me and checked the ball. And he's like, hey, man, I'm sorry about that earlier. And I said, you know what, man, it's no big deal.
Right.
You know, and he was like, nah, I lost my temper. I shouldn't have been talking like that or whatever. And I said, it's cool, bro. And dapped him up. And he was a white dude. Dapped him up and said, don't worry about it, right? Because the point being, like, I could have stunned it on him also. I'm like, no, fuck that, nigga. I ain't taking no apology, bitch. You called me a dumbass, you know, or whatever. Or I could have been like, when he said dumbass, I'm like, well, fuck you then, nigga. What you trying to fight? Like, none of that ever really crossed my mind, because I'm like, I'm never going to let you control my mentality like that.
Right.
You know, but more importantly, my good time is not determined upon you.
Mm-mm.
Nothing about me operates around you. So I don't want to give you the fucking benefit of returning your shit in kind, but also that would fuck up Machi. So he ends up, you know, apologizing, and, you know, it was cool. Actually, he actually hit the game winning shot, like, after that or whatever. I dapped him up. Good shot, bro. I had to leave anyway to go to lunch with you. So I was like, all right, y'all have a good one. But the point being, that energy can affect, because his negative attitude, I could have allowed it to be like I said, this infection.
Yes, it is.
This virus. I could have absorbed his negative energy, returned it in kind, maybe said something to a teammate or something, or, you know, like I could have taken that in and used it for something and made that the next person feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right. And like you say, it is infection, because like there's times where I get frustrated and things bother me. But the way I function is, it might sound strange, but if something bothered me, I get it out and then I'm done. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't really.
And that's, I mean, however you cope is healthy, right? Too. Like, you know, I just had a different approach, you right. know, and later on that day, you know, when I came to go to lunch with you, he drove me to lunch. He showed me some fried chicken. He threw it in the back and it was delicious. I had never had fried chicken. Have you heard of this? Chicken.
I'm glad y'all had a good time.
It was so good.
Why wouldn't I invite it?
We had some fried chicken, and it was.
Did you throw the bone at the window?
He threw a bone and a cup. I made him go back and get the cup, because that's something could happen. But
he'd be recycling.
He was a very nice man, very nice white man in Black History Month.
You making me laugh. But one more thing, you made me think about that time. It was kind of funny when we was at Burton's. And I think they had to do something with your pasta noodles.
Oh, and, he brought me.
No, I think they didn't have a type of noodle.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The woman came from the kitchen.
Yeah, the woman came for the kitchen, and she was like, whew, I was so glad to see y'all. Like, that shows you how much people stress them out.
Because other people were probably up there like, this goddamn pasta costs $27, bitch. You goddamn right you're going to have some linguine noodles. I don't want no fettuccine or whatever. She was like, can I bring you shells, because we out of the like linguine. And I was like, yes, of course. She was like, oh god, thank god, when I saw it was y'all, I knew it was gonna be okay.
right
I was like, damn,
like you could literally tell like the relief on her face was like, oh, good,
because I mean, we've all seen it, man, when somebody chooses to like stunt. And I get it, man, like you spent money, you know, I'm not trying to downplay it, I know. But we've all seen it, man. When I was a waiter, it used to happen all the time. Like, oh man, we're out of steaks, y'all. Oh man, I gotta go back to the table and tell them we're out of steaks. All right, ma'am, I know you just ordered the T-bone. The cook just told me that we are out of steaks. Is there anything else we can get you? Oh, I've never had a life like this. Is this slavery now? I think the whole meal should be free. how about you get on your knees and just suck my dick, okay? Just get it. How about you, I'll sit on your face for the meal instead, and then we'll call that dinner. You know, it's like, dog, it's not the worst fucking, it's just, it's not, it's like you go to the fridge and the thing that you wanted wasn't in there.
Right, and people be like, how can you, ain't you ever ran out of shit at your house too?
Yeah.
Right.
And I worked at shitty restaurants before where they really was, like, I understood why people got an attitude. Like, I worked at a McDonald's where they ran out of ketchup.
They just ran out of everything.
And, that, like, I get that. That's a lot. Like, that's just some horrible planning on somebody's part. But this was like, you know, like, man, we, you know, maybe 27, so a family came in and ordered 17 steaks. I don't know what to tell you, dog. We don't got no steaks. I shouldn't have to, like, then give plasma for us to continue the fucking experience or the dining experience. So I vowed, and maybe it's sometimes we're a little too easy and too lax, but mm-hmm. I vowed to never be like that.
The same. I think the only time I really had ever got like an attitude with the customer years ago when I worked at Shoney's. And for those of you that are not down south, you know, they have like the all you can eat like buffet bars. And at a certain time, the bar goes from like lunch price to dinner price, and it is a significant jump in price. And when you tell them, you know, hey, you know, you go through the spiel, half the time people don't fucking listen to you when you right. tell them certain things. Like, I'm trained. I'm like, hey, da da da, you know, da da da, you know, we get ready to do this, do that, you know, if you want this, you know, let me know, da 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 da. Okay, so they get the bill, and then the man gets mad. I'm like, well, she didn't tell me. And I was like,
yeah, they'll lie on you.
Right. That, you know, right. So what happened was that, the dude came up to me when I was behind the register. I'm like, you didn't tell me. And before I know it, I walked away, and as loud as I could, I said, his name was Bernie. I said, Bernie. I said, a customer out here mad at you. I said, you need to come talk to him. I said, I don't get enough. I said, I don't get paid enough to deal with angry ass customers.
I actually really hated when the manager would talk on my behalf, because they always just sold me out. That was the thing I hated about it, because like, they know I'll do a good job, they know I'm getting mad good reviews, all this type of shit, good customer service. Let somebody come in and just lie on me. Like, a dude lied on me one time and said I handed him his food and it was cold. It was not cold, because number one, all the food at IHOP at the time, it sits under a fucking like warmer. Mm-hmm. Even if it were to sit up there for a while, it's still gonna be way too fucking hot. Like, it's like
the plates burn
you. Yeah, the plates will burn you if they sit up there too long. So one, he was telling the fucking lie. And then he goes, and then he lied even further. He goes, I saw my plate, it was set up there for 10 minutes. I said, what? And so I give him his shit, and he's with his wife, and I knew he was a dick, because when he ordered, he's one of those people that orders for his wife. And I know that some people think that's cute in the movies and shit, but listen, I'm sorry to tell y'all this, 100% of people who do that are dicks. Like, unless there's some sort of disability or something.
Right, you order on behalf of a child,
you seem like a dick. When it's, I'll have the T-bone and eggs
and
the little lady over here, I have the salad. It's so weird. You know, I mean, I guess it's your relationship, I guess, but nigga, I'm just letting you know, you look like a dick. So, anyway, this nigga, gets mad, throws it, like, and he got an attitude, I won't speak to a manager. I said, all right, cool. This is one of my, like, first days at work. It's one of my first times having, like, more than one table and shit. And, you know, everyone else is happy in my section, but then this guy starts stressing me out, and now I'm in the weeds, and he got me going back and forth with the manager. I tell the manager exactly what happens. The manager comes out there. First of all, the manager is always scared. That's one of the things I fucking hate about managers. They be a big badass on you. Got time to lean, got time to clean.
That bullshit, yeah.
But as soon as you go back there, you're like, hey man, this motherfucker is tripping at this table. I mean, what, he want to talk to me? Yes,
that's
bitch.
That's your job.
That's your motherfucking job. You just was cussing me out this morning. Get out there and cuss him the way you be cussing me. This motherfucker get out there and immediately just bends over. Just, oh, whatever you say, sir. You know, it's like, they turn into a slave. Oh, sir, I sure is believe it's cold. Like, you're like, dog, what you doing? Don't shuck and jive. Like, I need Monique, not Steve Harvey. Like, help me. And they always sell out, get a nigga everything they want, like, oh, it's all free or whatever. Then they come to you later. Yeah, he told me that it was fucked up. I knew he was lying. You know, I just gave it to him free. I'm like, you did what now? Yeah, I just gave, you know, just compliment.
Literally after they ate the whole fucking meal?
Yeah. I said, man, he ate the fucking steak, left like a bite, and then wanted a goddamn full, what are you, what? Mm-hmm. I think that was the day I lost respect for that dude, because anyway, we went through some times after that. But the point being, though, it's wild that, like, how mean people can be and how contagious it was. And it was so, it fucked me up so bad that day, y'all. I was carrying glasses to a table and I fell on the glasses and cut my arms up really bad. Cause it had shaken me because right. He had such an attitude. He had lied on me in front of all these people. And so I fell. I cut myself. I was new. I was nervous. I went in the back. I had to put, all these first aid bandages mm-hmm. and stuff. They gave me a different shirt. Cause obviously you have sanitary issues and stuff. You can't be coming out there looking like you just got fucking cut up. Damn. Like you just been in a fucking fight with, Kill Bill and shit. So I come back out and you know, I'm bandaged up and shit. But you know, I got a different shirt on. There's no blood on it or nothing. Like mm-hmm. There's nothing gross going on. It's just, but underneath I'm all cut up. And of course everyone in my section heard me fucking fall. Right. Because, you know, I fell in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And they knew, I think low key they knew it was because that dude was a dick. So I come back to my section. I only got like four tables anyway. And all the couples there were apologizing on, like, yo, I'm sorry you had to go through that.
On his behalf,
that guy was a real dick. I saw what happened. You didn't do anything wrong. And I'm like on the verge of tears because I'm like, I'm new here. Maybe I ain't cut out for this shit. You know, like, I'm in a position where I can't punch you in the face.
Right. That's why they do that.
Cause it's not like I'm scared of him. It's just I'm in a position where if I hit you, I'm wrong. Like I gotta let you talk to me crazy for 213 an hour. I gotta let that happen.
And
in a position where I don't have to let that happen in any other place in my life.
Right. And that's why people show their asses. And that's why, you know, when people show their asses, I'm like, oh, no. The only reason why you showing your ass is because you in a position where they can't put them hands on you. Right. If they could put them hands on you, your attitude and how you speak and your tone and how you respond and react to me would be completely different.
And I'm like 17 or something, eight, you know, so yeah, I'm sure also if I was like 40, he wouldn't have did that. He would be like, oh shit, my bad, you know, but right. I'm, you know, he's talking to a kid as far as he's concerned. And then he even tried to pull something like, hey man, you did a good job, man. I'm just saying the steak was sitting up there. And I'm like, you lying right now. You embarrassed me on my first day of the job. You lied to my fucking manager. What if he fired me after this? What right. if he'd be like, Rod, I believe you're a liar. You're fired. Now, luckily he didn't believe that, but still, like, why black man would you do this to me? Right. And so, and he left me like a $5 tip or whatever, but everybody else from that section, they leaving like $20 tips. Mm-hmm. I actually probably made more money that day, than I made up most days there because everybody was over tipping me because they was like, this nigga be working.
Right.
Like this motherfucker went through all that shit and still got my shit out here on time. And then it was like being real relaxed, like, hey man, listen, if it's gonna take you a few minutes to get that coffee, you take your time, baby, okay? I'm like, oh no, I'll get it right quick, you know. But I was that nervous, you know what I mean?
Yes. And I know we need to move on, but you was making me think about this time. I remember when you was at we were talking about McDonald's, how you say busting a lot.
Yeah.
And so bus on the line. We
by the way, bus on the line means a school bus of children going to Carowinds, which is our mm-hmm. theme park here in Charlotte, or well, South Carolina, kind of. We were the closest McDonald's to the Carowinds.
Mm-hmm.
So every single day, we would get school buses full of children pulling up on the lot, and we would have to our McDonald's would be destroyed, and we would serve all these kids. And then typically, we get four or five of those a day at least. It was insane. It was the worst job I ever had.
Right. So that's why they ran out of everything, because the manager's probably being cheap would never order properly.
Yeah, it was just bad management. Like mm-hmm. it was like we were the worst run McDonald's and worst reviewed at the time. This was before Yelp. But we had a horrible track record of everything. Like it was really the worst. And I was 15, so I could only do the register.
Yeah.
I couldn't cook anything.
Mm-hmm.
I could take out the trash and I could clean the bathroom. So as you guys guessed, it was a horrible job. All because I wanted some Air Force Ones. Scottie Pippen, I think they were called Air Force or Air Flights. from the East Bay brochure. That's why I did that job. It was trash. The worst job I ever had.
Did I just say it was trash? Would you make me think, well, this happened to, because one time, for those of you that don't know much about waitressing and serving, a lot of times between, I work day shift, so you would have a switch between the day shift and the night shift, and you would have like the day shift would normally cut down, you know, your girls that came in like first thing at 5 and 6 and mm-hmm. you know, 3 and 4, they would leave, and they would narrow it down to about 2 girls, sometimes 1 girl, but this time it was 2 girls, right? And then the night shift would come in, you know, about an hour or two, you know, later after everybody else was gone. So it was literally 4 of us. It was the manager, me and another girl, Ann was the name, and a hostess. And we was sitting there, and we was like, okay, you know, this is cool, about time to go. I was on a big ass bus, and it was like, because where we was at, it was a bunch of hotels and shit around there, you know, and so you had a big old Phantom and Union shit like that. Next thing you
like
know,
like the shuttle bus,
right,
type of deal. Yeah,
so next thing you know, somebody said bus on the lot, and everyone was like, fucking, what do you mean a fucking bus? We went, and me and her looked at each other like, dog, you know, it's just me and you, right? We was like, yeah, we gonna have to do this, girl. And literally the place went from completely empty to fucking full, like right. Literally the whole restaurant. But the thing about it was that everybody was so understanding.
Yeah, because like, they knew what they were about to put y'all through.
Right, and literally everybody was so it was like we were taking orders. We would, you know, the manager was the only one cooking. You know?
I used to, I used to do the big table sometimes, because those actually are the nicest customers. Now they take the most work, and they're the longest,
right?
Normally, but they normally are the nicest people. Now it depends on the party if they're gonna tip well, because you just really never know. Like, I think it's better when there's just one motherfucker that's like, I'll take care of the bill, you know, because once it gets down to everybody taking care of themselves, you just, motherfuckers get real weird with them tips. Mm-hmm. But also there's peer pressure to tip, which I like too, because like, you know, I was a good waiter, and so when somebody would see somebody about to show, they like, hold up, and then you only gonna give him $2 right. in this.
And then you had that one auntie that I did go right. around and be like, y'all better put in a dollar too,
right I'm gonna take care of you, baby. Like, I used to love that shit. And plus I specialize in black tables anyway, because motherfuckers would give away their black tables, because y'all niggas is racist, and I mean waiters.
Yes,
okay?
They are.
And anytime somebody tell you black people don't tip, remember that waiters are racist as fuck.
Yep. And the thing is, and y'all, it was like a bunch of black people, so it was just me and it was this white girl named Ann, y'all. And when I tell you, everybody tipped, literally everybody tipped, like we racked up.
Yeah.
It's because they were very understanding, like you say, for what they was putting us
they
through,
knew what
and,
they was doing
and all that stuff too. And you know, you make me think about when you was talking about falling one time. I remember I had like this long section, and it was busy, and I was going, and I happened to turn the corner. I had a tray full of stuff, and I literally by accident ran into the wall.
Damn.
And when, I don't know how I did that.
Using the weeds or something.
Yes, I was like, the wall ain't going nowhere, but for right. some reason, it jumped in front of me that second.
Damn.
And so I ran into the wall, but I didn't crash, but you could just hear like everything. It was just like a big racket. And so I think that people saw how hard I was, literally like right. how hard I was working. And same thing, people were giving. When you was talking about black tables, yeah, I would have, particularly when I worked nights, you would have people just give the tables away and then want to know how much they gave. Well, I'm not telling you.
Yeah,
none of your business.
That was the thing that killed me. I would always tell them it was a big tip too, because like I loved the rubbing in their face, like, yo, racist ass just ran out, you just lost out on $10 because you had to be racist.
Come on,
you know what I mean? Like, my thing is, I would tell, like, black people be knowing, so like they would see me mm-hmm. come over there and be like, this ain't even your table, is it? I'd be like, nope.
And they'd be tell the truth, nope.
Yeah, they'd be like, because they could see the other people in the section, like,
and they could see people okay, walking so you, past them,
right? So you were not busy enough to pick all these white people in this table. But in this section, but then this black table come in, all of a sudden you too busy.
You got then, every table in the area but
right,
mine.
I'm looking over here, you are leaning up against the wall. You know, and that racism works both ways too, cause like, the white women and shit that worked there used to stay getting bigger tips than me, whether they did a good job or not. Cause,
yep.
you know, dudes come in there like, basically like, my dick is hard, here's some money, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was just crazy. Anyway, back to the article. I know it's just a just talking episode.
Ah!
That's fine. Back to the article. the online, so that's real life face to face,
right?
They say they did a study of interactions of about 5,000 people living in one town over the course of 32 years. Their emotional ups and downs were documented with periodic surveys.
That's a wonderful study. That's because you gave it enough time where you actually getting real stats and statistics.
We were able to show that as one person became happy or sad, it rippled throughout the network. Well, see, the point I was going to make is social media has only been around 10-15 years maybe
at the most.
So this is an extensive study of 5,000 people over 32 years. Even with all the data they collect on us, it's gonna be years before they realize like how certain mental health issues were affected through social media, how social media specific mental health issues that only started because of social media.
Agreed.
You know, like it's gonna be a while before we really know the damage or the positivity or whatever and how we were affected by it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just happiness that spreads. Unhappiness and anger can be contagious too, and you don't have to be in the same house or city to catch someone else's emotions.
Mm-mm.
There's evidence that emotional contagion can spread throughout digital interactions too. Say you're in a negative mood and you text your partner. A research study dubbed "I'm Sad, You're Sad" documented that in these types of text exchanges, your partner is likely to both sense your emotion and mirror it. So just how far does it go? A study of nearly 700,000 Facebook users suggests we can pick up on and mirror the emotions we encounter in our social media feeds too. As part of the study, I remember this, they started changing people's news feeds. Some people get only happy news, more positive stuff. Some people get more negative stuff. We found that when good things were happening in your news feeds to your friend and family, you also tend to write more positively and less negatively.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's true. I know I've watched it change around me. Like I've changed some of the things I share, some stuff I talk about.
Yes.
And how much time I spend on social media, and I've watched my experience become better, and I watched the people around me respond to me better. And it's not like I've changed really. Like I still feel the way I feel about shit, but you know, instead of sharing like, look at this article and how it pissed me off, I'll you know, be like, no, I'm not gonna share that article with y'all because maybe y'all don't want to see that shit, or maybe I'll talk about it on the show or whatever. And when I see people doing stuff like with Jussie Smollett, there was people just picking sides and then they would be very upset one way or the other. And they were going back and forth and back and forth. And I'm not saying with each other, but just on my feed. Just,
yeah, you could see
this person's telling me like, so I'm a homophobe because I just didn't believe this story. It was fishy. So now it means I don't like gay people. All the shit that I be saying, y'all fuck y'all then. And then the next person is like, if you don't believe him, then fuck you and fuck everybody and don't follow me. And I'm blocking people. And it's just anger, and it's anger, and it's not really the truth. Of, like, that story's not making what's making you angry.
Mm-mm.
What you're saying is not even the true reason that you're scared. You're scared that people aren't going to believe the next person.
Right.
You're scared that people are only saying, I don't believe this guy because he's gay. I don't believe this guy because he's black. You're scared that some people are like, I think you hate black or gay people because you didn't just immediately believe this guy. You know, like, that's what the truth is.
Mm-hmm.
But instead you're going, I'm flexing on these motherfuckers, like get the fuck off my page, blah blah blah. Well, I pick up that too.
Mm-hmm.
So if I see enough of it, I'm gonna be wanting to contribute my opinion and be like, well, hold up now, this is what I think. And so I resist the urge now where I'll be like, I'm not gonna contribute my opinion on this anywhere other than our public like podcast platform where we can put it in context,
right? Because things like that matter. And I realize over the past maybe year, 2 years, my social media experience has been a lot better, because if anybody follows me, all jokes aside, I follow a lot of animal gifts. I love animal gifts, don't ask me why, but I follow like a lot of cats and dogs and penguins and birds, oh my, like shit like that.
Mm.
A lot of food stuff. And I'm like you, what I've realized is that positive stuff, people, you like you said, you get more positive response. So a lot of times people are constantly laughing, liking, thumbs up, and to me it made my social media experience completely different.
You're trying to get back what you're putting out,
right?
As opposed, because that's what ultimately happens, you get back what you put out. So if you find your social media response, because it's algorithmic now, right? It's if you like a negative thing that someone said, if you like if you keep clicking on enough statuses about the thing, the topic of the day that everyone's fighting about, you're gonna see all the rest of those statuses. If you're sharing that stuff, you know, and like I said, a lot of times I stay on my page. I go to news feeds instead of people's pages a lot of times now, because I've realized over time, Facebook will give me what I'm, you know, what they think I want.
So, and that's kind of funny. So, it's particularly over like the last year, some change. Because of the algorithm, not trying to find it. Some people I don't even see no more. I don't even know they exist.
Me too.
And it's not because I don't know that they're there, but I just never see their post anymore.
Sometimes I'll go search or see their page, see a person's page and be like, oh, that's right. That's really why I stopped really going on their page, because it's always a fight or it's always something negative or it's always the most inflammatory way to say it. And now I just don't see them, you know? So if I can avoid it, you know, obviously right. The algorithm can be kind of fucked up where like if someone's talking shit about you or implying they talking shit, sometimes it'll show that, and that's just a matter of being too popular. I'm just sick of that. That's not popular. Yeah, the average person not gonna go through that. But anyway, my point being like the negativity feeds into you as well as the positivity.
It does,
you know,
it does because I know for me particularly when something really tragic happens within the black community, like a big death or something like that, I realized that all you could see was the pain, you know, and that really impacted me more than I thought it did. That's initially why I started pulling away, because it just became too much for me mentally.
It's like an over exaggeration. For example, after the Oscars, the Green Book stuff now for me it's overburdening. Like
yes,
we're now giving them too much credit. You know what I mean? Like the movie it only made $110 million. Now I know Bill Street made 15, but this movie was not the, I can't go nowhere without that goddamn Green Book. A lot of movies did better than Green Book. Mm-hmm. We don't need to be emphasizing that much about this fucking movie. We don't need to be telling the story of, let me tell you the real Dr. Shirley. People done became full Dr. Shirley historians. And to a certain extent, I gotta give Green Book some credit. Cause y'all niggas was not looking this up or talking about him as a household name until this fucking movie. Now I can't go nowhere without hearing the story and talking to him about his family and all this shit. So it's like sometimes it's an overcorrection, you know, in my small part of the internet. And I think a lot of people probably experienced that as well. So what they did was they altered people's news feeds, and they would write more positive stuff than negative if they were having a positive experience. And the reverse is true as well. So put a lot of negative shit on the timeline. Now they're talking about their more negative stuff. I can look at certain people and be like, because you're friends with this person, y'all always on each other's pages. Mm-hmm. That's why the fuck y'all always are. It's like y'all are becoming chicken or egg. Y'all are hyping each other up into either positivity or negativity. Mm-hmm. You know, and you can kind of tell.
Yeah, because you know, social media is just like real life. You see clicks, you see people group up for good and for bad.
Right, right.
You know, you see friendships that are excellent. You see people grow and evolve and root each other on.
It's human nature,
right? And it's a beautiful thing to watch sometimes. And sometimes you're like, oh no, this shit ain't gonna end well.
Right, right. But the study suggests that emotions can move through networks like through contagion. And then they go into a personal anecdote about Patton Oswalt and how he helped this person and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But you know, the point being, like, I read that and was like, yo, that I feel that way, you know. I can kind of tell it, you know. Also, I think the attitude you come into it with, because I don't know that everybody's like mental health and shit is straight before you even hop online.
Correct.
And then the way you, like, I was listening to a podcast, I don't remember one, and I'm not trying to be shady. If I remember the name, I probably wouldn't tell y'all because of what I'm about to say, but I was listening to somebody and it just slipped. It was a small thing. They were just like, yeah, you know, because Instagram is about making people jealous and envy you, and you know, Facebook is about sharing, Twitter is about this. And I went back and thought about it. I was like, Instagram is about making people jealous and envy you.
That's how some people function.
You brought that with you.
Correct.
You see what I'm saying? Cause to me, I've always looked at stuff like that as, you know, like if someone's sharing a picture of, hey, I went out for a stroll, or I'm on vacation, or I had something to eat,
I'm
always looking at it like this was a thing you enjoyed and an experience you wanted to share, which is why you hear a lot of people talk about, I'm on Instagram more now, because it's people going, I'm having a good time, mm-hmm. and I want to share something with y'all that is, that I experienced. This is me at the comic book shop. This is me. This is me eating this food. This is me at a party. This is me at a concert. And so people go, yeah, but you bring that with you internally. If you go, I'm posting this so you bitches will know I had cake today and you niggas didn't have none and you can't have none, I made this food and y'all gotta go without, like that's something that you brought with you.
Come on,
you know what I mean? And so I think that's a big part of it too. I never thought about that because I'm just not that kind of person,
right?
But when I listened to it, I was like, yo, it's, that's really gotta be what people, some people take from it, and they'll never say to themselves, it's hard for, the way it was hard for me to see a perspective where someone would be posting on Instagram just to piss everybody off.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be hard for them to see me sharing some food I cooked without them going, you did this because I can't have a plate, you know?
Right.
And so it's already a disconnect before we even interact.
Right. And a lot of times the people ain't even thinking about you.
Right. But is it, but you see what I'm saying? It's just,
yes.
I can't know their motivation. They couldn't possibly know mine, but right. Yeah, here we are. Man, we have talked a long time about nothing.
I enjoyed talking to you about nothing, Dan.
Me too. I'll say the rest of this news. I don't really care about that. Oh, wait. No, I do care about something.
Okay.
My dog, man. I don't know what's going on, but he done got caught up in some more shit, y'all.
What happened?
My man, YNW Melly. Y'all might know him from such hits as Murder on My Mind.
Oh, you trap niggas?
He done got caught up in some more shit, y'all.
Hey, I'm in the studio, bro. Oh, no, you ain't calling me, bro. Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I'm at the studio. Hold up, though. I ain't get on the way. Ain't get on no
switches.
I was locked up on Christmas. Ain't get to see my niggas. Ain't get to hug my mama.
Couldn't even give no kisses.
Can't even post on my Instagram.
You big nigga be snitching.
Everybody acting suspicious. Woo. Might probably say that I'm tripping.
Come on,
when I'm all alone in my jail cell, I tend to get in my feelings.
And y'all know how I be.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess he had worked
up. Word on your mind.
I guess he had woke up in the morning with murder on his mind a different day.
Oh shit.
Cause now he's reportedly a suspect in the shooting death of a Florida sheriff deputy.
Oh, you going to jail.
Yeah.
Shooting deputies. That ain't no normal person.
Damn, I knew this song was too banging, man.
All I smoke is that loud. Don't pass me no music. And I'ma smoke all of my pain away. Cause that's the only thing that gon' heal it. I don't understand you women.
Yeah, that beat drop.
As if they really fought with me, so I love them all from a distance. Cause the same bitch said she down the ride, be the main one who tricking. Mm-hmm. Got my limits with promethazine, cause every time I wake up
in the morning, I got murder on my mind.
AK-47s, Mac 11, Glocks and 9. All these pussy niggas hating, trying to knock me off my grind. But I can't let them do
murder on my mind, I got murder on my mind. I got murder on my mind.
I got murder on my mind.
Murder on my mind.
I got murder on my mind.
I knew this shit was too good, man.
Oh, that beat go hard too.
You can't let nothing like this just out exist in the world without something fucking it up, man. So yeah, they think he shot an off-duty Indian River County Sheriff deputy.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, him and YNW Bortland were both charged in the shit, or suspected of it. Yeah, they were charged with two counts of first degree murder in connection with the death of their close friends. According to Florida news outlet Vero News, Melly and YNW Bortland are both alleged suspects in the 2017 death of Deputy Gary Chambliss. After the shooting in Miramar, our detectives will be following up for possible information in connection with Gary Chambliss' homicide. Perhaps given the current situation that might shed some light on the case. So maybe they're gonna look in their phones and all that type of shit.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Investigators believe both, or maybe they just gonna play another song.
Right.
I had to shoot that deputy, that nigga was tripping. I got murder on my mind.
Well, there you go.
Investigators believe both men were involved in the shooting death of off-duty deputy. They claim that Melly and Borden were allegedly at the scene of the shooting, in which one of them fired the shot that ultimately killed Chambliss. Melly and Borland are accused of standing in a group and firing gunshots when Chambliss was hit by a stray bullet. Didn't even mean to kill the deputy. Or was it a sheriff? I'm sorry. I forgot.
He's somebody in the police department.
Killing cops is not a smart way to stay out of prison, okay? Mm-mm. You know, that's... That shit do be going, though. Don't it, y'all?
The same bitch, say she down the ride, be the main one.
That's tricky.
Got Molly Mills with promethazine, cause every time I wake up in the morning, I got murder on my mind. AK-47s, Mac-11s, Glock-9s. And all these pussy niggas hating, trying to knock me off my grind. But I can't let them do it. I got murder on my mind. I got murder on my mind. I got murder on my mind.
Oh, so good. Gone too soon. All right, let's see. Is there, we've been talking for a while, so I'm gonna skip. You know what? Fuck it, man. It's our show. We do as long as we want to. Shout out to Tatiana and Mike Brown, okay?
I know, right?
We will do whatever the fuck we wants to do, okay? We getting paid to do this. Let's do some fucking with black people real quick. Let's take the right music and do the fuck with black people. We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. Time to play the game we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game we go all around the globe, we find different articles, make us feel fucked with, and we assign point scores of 0 to 100, intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. Oh, man. Guess who's back in the news? The ousted Alabama editor who wanted the KKK to night ride.
Oh, yeah. Who was talking about night rider dude yesterday?
He is back in the news, Karen.
What is he doing? Day riding now? What's happening? We done took it to the daytime? I don't know.
He's a 80-year-old man, so I mean, you know. Yeah,
it is day riding shit. You gotta have it done so you can be up for the sunrise special. We can't be out all night riding.
Right. He need to be early bird riding.
Come on.
So yeah, he said now I can drink beer and chase women since he's been ousted from his editorial position. I guess he's got, at 80 years old, he's got time to get back on these hoes, apparently.
Time to get back on these bitches.
Apparently he's got something else on his mind. It's not murder. He had murder on his mind when he was night riding. Mm-hmm. But now he got,
the only thing he about to murder is that old pussy.
Right. I got pussy on my mind.
I got pussy on my mind.
You about to knock somebody hip out of place, okay?
Come on.
He said, upon resigning as editor and publisher of the Democrat Reporter in Linden, Goodlow Sutton, 80, said, I can drink beer and chase women now. They can't run too fast or I can't catch them. Democrat Reporter announced on Friday, Alicia R. Dexter, a black woman. A black, right? I hate when racists be funny, man. That's the worst.
Right.
Cause I'm not above laughing.
Me either. I know it's fucked up, y'all, but that shit was funny.
I'm sorry to let the black delegation down, but
I know.
I do be laughing like that's some good racism. Right.
That's why I don't go out and ever represent nobody. They be like, you think shit funny. You can't be going out there.
Like at 80.
Representing us.
Like at 80, you been racist for 80 years. Man, you not giving that up.
Come on.
Well, he gonna learn a lesson now? Like he is entrenched in his racism. He not an accidental racist. Shout out to LL.
No, he not.
So yeah, Alicia R. Dexter, a black woman, will take over as publisher and editor from Sutton, who has run the 140-year-old paper since the 1960s.
Good God.
Sutton also said, I do now own it, speaking of the paper, but that was refuted by Dexter, 46, who said that Sutton will retain ownership of the newspaper, which has a circulation of about 3,000, but I will handle everything else. So I thought this is a typo, so they meant do not own it. So he owns the paper even though he's stepping down.
Ah, okay.
That's crazy. And then the job goes to a black woman that still gotta work at this place that this old racist man owns. That's so crazy. America, y'all.
That mean he ain't have to be working. He could have been done, been out here with these hoes.
Right, true. You know he go out there to get on the hoes, he gonna be out there. Hey, what version is this? I don't know what version that is. That's an orchestra. That's what he's gonna be. Like, I'm back, hoes!
Yes!
Time to do some dick riding.
Give me that twisty. Hey!
He gonna be out there, the dick rider.
Yeah, he gonna be like, let me turn your oxygen up, baby. Come on.
I'm a night rider looking for some cock riders. Where my cock riders at? This car
come on,
be,
you be like, you want a, I got a bat and you can swing it, baby. Come on.
This car gonna be called Slit instead of Kit.
Ah!
Oh, poor sister that got this job.
Right.
I hope you got a raise, baby, because this ain't worth it. Mm-hmm. This is not it.
Mm-mm.
So yeah. 0 to 100, Karen.
Oh, 100.
Okay, 100. Yeah, I gotta give it 100 as well. Sutton also questioned whether the KKK was violent, claiming America's most feared white supremacist terrorist organization didn't kill but a few people. Oh, is that all? It's just a few. As if, 100. What am I saying? Why am I acting like I was gonna reason that out?
Right, I'm like, fuck them. Fuck them.
All right. Let's go to the next one. Vandals spray paint racist graffiti on Howell Church buildings. A deacon at Howell Church is wondering who is responsible for racist graffiti that was spray painted on the church building. Oh man, you hate to hear about this,
right?
Because this is one of the worst types of racism. You go to where people pray, where people feel like there's a sanctuary, where people feel protected, and then you intimidate them with this graffiti, and it's something that goes back in the annals in the annals of America. Since black people were worshiping at churches. Now this is not your typical black people worshiping at church story, because in this case the racist graffiti said honky.
Didn't no niggas write that.
Karen, we need to believe victims, okay? When people say that something happened, why is our first response to say you're not telling the truth? We must support all victims as we did Justice Smollett until proven otherwise, Karen, until given some reason.
Where's this history of niggas going around marking shit up with the word honky?
Okay, so you never seen an episode of a show documentary called The Jeffersons? I seem to remember George Jefferson, enterprising entrepreneur, owner of a laundromat, who called several white people honkies on the regular, Karen.
Did he write it on the side of a building?
I would imagine if he had spray paint his skills. He
get 50% off all wall side windows.
What's happening? He might not have patio doors. He might not have done that, Karen.
Take an extra 15% off or 5 years. No,
we getting an extra 15% off.
Listen, he might not have, Karen, but I bet you his son would have. Okay, Lionel, because he knew how to spray paint. I'm just saying, you got to think about these things, Karen. Okay. Mm-mm. It's the truth.
This is some white on white crime.
Wow.
Yeah, I said it.
Wow. And I better not see people in the chat room saying this either, after y'all got so upset about people just not believing folks. We got to believe victims, y'all. Okay.
Here at 5, the pastor.
Okay. Now you want to load again. All right. Well, let it load in the background. I'll read it.
Yeah, but I say move it back and see if it.
Oh, let me see.
Now, sometimes you start from the beginning to slowly catch up.
Try it. As long as I don't go back to that
pastor
ad.
Of a Howell.
Oh no, it's just tripping.
Okay. The pastor of a Howell church is wondering who would do something like this.
Oh wow. On one side it say white devil.
Ain't no niggas do that.
See, that's what happened when you let white people see that video of the motherfucking dudes talking to the MAGA hat teens. Okay? So now they know about the Black Israelites and what they be saying. So they now it's on their walls all of a sudden. We know Black Israelites don't use spray paint for nothing but bracelets.
That's it.
But they don't. So they like, ooh, white people, something to be scared of. This is why we need President Trump to save us.
Graffiti found scrawled on the walls of the church. Security cameras even caught whoever spray painted the church wall in the act. And as our Coco McAvoy shows us, this isn't the first time this has happened.
We're talking about...
Okay, guys, I saw the footage. I mean, it's just a person in a hoodie and a coat, completely covered from head to toe. I mean, they could be a Nigerian coming to get Jesse for all that we know. That you can't make out anything from that fucking footage. You can't tell what race that person is. Although I do believe them.
Two churches vandalized within a matter of days here in Howell. First, on Tuesday, the historical church here on North Hacker Road was tagged by vandals. And then late last night, the St. John the Baptist Catholic Church became a target.
This is not acceptable.
Derogatory words spray painted on the sides of two church buildings has Deacon David Piggott very upset.
It said honky on that one, and as you can see it, this one it says white devil.
The vandalism happened just a couple of...
If you can say it on the news without them bleeping it out. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to belittle what happened to you, but like... Yeah.
Is it on the same level?
Is it?
What's the historical history behind this? Have y'all been beat and whipped and were you taken away from your land?
Yeah. I mean, if somebody spray painted like podcast on my car, I mean, I'm a little annoyed, I'm upset, you spray painted my car.
But you know, it's factual, you know, and shit, but yeah.
I'm just saying.
Days apart, church members thought the first tagging would be the last. But then this morning.
Oh boy, here we go again.
More vandals.
Church people thought the first tagging would be last, but don't y'all know? What did God say? The last shall be first. Duh.
Oh Lord.
And I don't even go to church.
On church property. Surveillance cameras captured small parts of the act.
And it shows a person getting out, walking up. Nothing for a little while, walking back in, pulling out.
The biggest question Deacon Piggott has is why.
I don't know why anybody would want to do that, but we're living in times when things are a little bit sketchier than what I'm used to.
The vandalism at the historical church is now gone, so the focus is getting the white spray paint off of the brick at the St. John the Baptist Catholic Church before service tomorrow. Deacon doesn't have harsh words for the person who did this, though.
Would love to talk to you about why you feel this way about us. I will pray for them. I feel that they are misguided.
And as you can see from...
And they know they're going to come back tomorrow and put peckerwood on the back, okay?
Might as well do the trifecta. I'm surprised they ain't bust out a good cracker in there somewhere.
They gonna put cracker on the door?
I mean, if we gonna go for the slurs, let's pull them all out.
They gonna put communion crackers with an A-S at the end. Communion crackers. I'm mad they sent this sister out here to have to waste her time.
That's what I'm about to say.
Girl, you got your head there for this.
The surveillance video, there's not a clear image of who did this, which means police need help. So if you have any information about what happened, you're asked to call the Livingston County Sheriff's Department. Reporting live this afternoon.
Man, somebody tracked down who bought spray paint in the last 24 hours and who used the lift to get out there.
The trail. Wasn't it snowing shit on the ground? No, we're not doing that bullshit.
Come on now. All right, Karen. 0 to 100.
No, 25.
Okay.
I was going to give it a zero because I was like, this is white on white crime, but I'll give it a 25.
What's the 25 for?
Only because it was, you know, the people just a little annoyed. That's it.
Yeah, that's a zero. Come on, man. We ain't do that.
You know we didn't do that.
We didn't do that, y'all. Come on now. Come on now. We don't do that.
Not like that.
That's a white.
And the thing is, it wasn't no tag. You know how we tag shit? We like to put our logos on the side and shit to let you know who tagged it.
Yeah, that's not us.
That's like the people with the swastikas when they swastikas ain't straight. We didn't do that bullshit.
Like, get out of here. A blacks rule. Like, get the fuck out of my face, dog. That's not us.
No.
Everybody know we don't do this. We don't come from that. We don't even be thinking about y'all like that.
Right, and the worst part about it, you're so uncool, you don't even know how to properly do the slang.
It's not even intimidating to anybody that, unless you are already a white person living in fear. There's nothing scary about that.
And they're not in fear. What are we talking about here?
The lies! The lies!
Like, if you put motherfucking, like, graffiti on a black person's church, okay, there's a historical reason for us to be scared. Y'all gonna firebomb us or blow the shit up or do something to our children. Like, we have lived under terrorism for years and centuries in this country. That's nothing. We don't do that.
We don't do that.
We don't even talk about white people that way.
Is it another church around a block that was like, y'all taking our members? What the fuck is this?
We don't do what?
Right. Like I said, we don't do that.
Trash. Zero. I don't feel fucked with at all. It's terrible. All right. Let's see. I don't even feel like giving this dude no time. Anybody else? Oh, Gucci announces plan to embed cultural diversity following blackface controversy. CEO Marco Bizzarri announced 4 long-term initiatives that aim to improve cultural awareness within the fashion house. These actions are hiring global and regional directors for diversity and inclusion, setting up a multicultural design scholarship program, launching a diversity and inclusivity awareness program, and launching a global exchange program. I'm not 100% sure. I would need to see the details of those positions. I know Dapper Dan is working with them. He's a Harlem designer.
Yeah, who gets those positions? Because that shit matters too.
Right, because a lot of times they'd be like, diversity and inclusion director, and then you look on Twitter's like website and it's some white dude, and it's like, is that really diversity and inclusion? You know, like, diversity is just having people that are of a different race or culture or background. But if you're gonna include them, you gotta make them have some power to affect change, and that's where everybody keeps falling short at, because nobody wants to get off the dais, okay? Everybody want to be on the stage. Everybody wants to run the show. But if you really, you got to let us make some decisions. Don't just hire me to be the yes man to the coolest monkey in the jungle shirt.
Come on.
I need to be able to tell you, cut that shit out. I know it's going to cost us some money, but if you put that out, it's going to be way worse than if you don't.
Right. And y'all won't be out here fucking up looking stupid.
So, I don't know. We'll see how this shakes out. And I'm not a Gucci wearer in the fashion community, so I can't even really speak to this shit.
I know nothing about Gucci.
All right.
Other than when I say I'm Gucci, as far as like I'm good and Gucci Mane, that's about the only Gucci's I know.
Yep. I would say, I don't even have a number to, I'm gonna say zero just cause I don't know enough about it, I guess.
Right. Once I know the details, my view might change.
Yeah. I understand the initial infraction was horrendous. So I guess there's some residual shit with that that maybe is fucking with me, but in general, yeah, I don't really feel anything. All right, let's see, where are we at? 142. That's about it for tonight, guys. I got some other stuff I got to do later on in the day, in the night. If you're listening to what's my Three Guys on their premium, I should be on the next Woke Files if everything goes right. So premium Three Guys On listeners, keep your eye out for that. That's what I'll be recording tonight with Randolph. We'll be back definitely Wednesday for the feedback show, probably tomorrow too, but we'll see about that. Before we get out of here though, a couple has been jailed for a sword and dagger attack.
Oh, shit.
Shout out to Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I got me a unicorn now, y'all.
Ooh.
Y'all should see it. A couple who tried to kill a man with a dagger and a sword in Fife have been jailed. Mark Wilson and Leanne Napier attacked Scott Watson after bursting into his flat in Kirkcaldy on the 21st of April. Jurors heard how Napier had earlier threatened Mr. Watson during a row over a watch. Wilson, a watch? Who wears those in 2018? What? Mm-hmm. Wilson was jailed for 12 years and Napier for 10 for attempted murder when they appeared in the high court in Glasgow. The pair, both 36, were found guilty after a trial in Livingston. It's an 18-inch dagger one of them had. This can only be described as a vicious, premeditated, unprovoked attack. You both went armed with lethal weapons to your victim's home, forcing your way in. This appeared to be a motiveless attack. Neither of you have shown any remorse whatsoever. The trial heard how Napier had initially sliced Mr. Watson's arm with an 18-inch dagger. The pair then chased Mr. Watson to the living room of the flat in Miller Street before Wilson attempted to stab a sword into his chest. Mr. Watson said, "He was trying to thrust it into me, but I managed to grab the blade and push it away. He pulled a knife out and cut me on both cheeks. Mr. Watson rolled away, but Wilson then slashed him on the back shoulder." It was an ornamental sword.
Didn't it just still cut?
Yeah. Mr. Watson grabbed an ornamental sword in his flat to try to defend himself. His attackers fled. So because he had a sword, they ran off. So he lucked out to have a sword in his house. But I mean,
oh, so now he the crazy one after you done sliced him up,
right? So the sword, this thing we just talked about, y'all, their sword ratchetness affected his sword ratchetness. Now he had to be sword ratchet back,
right,
to deliver that energy. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? It all comes full circle on the Black Gal Tips. All right, y'all, we'll talk to y'all later. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for being here, Karen. I enjoyed this episode. I don't care what they say about us, I'm gonna do some more of these podcasts with you.
Mm-hmm.
Until next time, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.